That time where we have a look at some of the things happening in the world of politics, and we do that with our Professor of Politics, Dr. Jim Joseph from the University of Newcastle. And Jim, we've been all around the world, we've done a lot of federal stuff, but right now there are a lot of things happening in and around Macquarie Street. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Mark. Yes, it's quite an interesting time, as they say, in Macquarie Street. The Premier is facing a particularly difficult process, although one would have thought that the evidence thus far put before the upper house, the committee of inquiry, about the Minister for Trade, Stuart Ayres, misleading Parliament, would seem to be reasonably firm ground for the Premier to have taken action on that alone and asked the Minister to stand down or to have stood the Minister down, because it's quite clear from the documents tabled in the committee that the minister appears to have misled Parliament. At the moment, the Premier is appearing to tough it out, looking to an independent, as he's called it, an independent inquiry that is due to report today or tomorrow, probably sometime today, I would imagine. And he's waiting on that before he makes a decision. Maybe that's simply to give him some protection from his colleagues so that when he does stand the minister down, it can be on the basis of an independent report. Now, in normal circumstances, perhaps that might be a tenable political position. When you think about it, though, the principle of misleading Parliament is one of the sort of cardinal principles of Westminster government. When a member of Parliament, but in particular when a minister stands up and says X, Y, Z to the Parliament, and then it's found out that what was said was in fact untrue or misleading, the person concerned immediately needs to stand down or at least come into the Parliament and make a formal apology that it misled Parliament. Usually they try and do that on the basis of it was unintentional. The advice that I was given by my personal advisor, my political advisor, whatever, they come in and say, on the basis of the advice given, I made that statement. It turns out the advice was incorrect. I didn't actually lie or mislead Parliament. I just simply relayed advice.
Acted on what was in front of me at the time.
This is not the case with the minister at the time, because the misleading of Parliament was making the statement that he had no knowledge of what was going on, that he was operating at arm's length, and that he did not have any personal knowledge of the actual appointment process involved in the shortlisting of candidates and so forth. The documents suggest otherwise. In fact, he allegedly signed off on a briefing note that confirmed who had in fact been offered the job, which was at that time Ms. Jenny West.
Yeah, I often think that with this entire process, to think that if someone's offered the job, allegedly offered the job, but then it's taken off of them and given to a politician who leaves and then all of a sudden goes through a brand new recruiting process and offered the job, you think, you can't think that there's not going to be something come out of that. But anyway, it's a gift for the opposition, and we'll see where all of that goes. Interesting, though, that the Premier, upon standing down another minister, when asked why one and not the other, he said, well, look, this one, the difference being a safe workplace was involved, so that's why this minister had to go. But with Stuart Ayres, we'll see what happens with this inquiry, Jim.
Well, if you compare the two situations, It is still arguable about the circumstances around the sacking of the Minister for Fair Trade.
Her name's escaped me too, yes. But that's okay.
Yep. She was stood down immediately.
Yeah.
Allegedly because the Premier had other information after conferring with her that he then decided that her position was no longer tenable, so he stood her down. The rapidity with which he did that, compared with the defending, as it appears to be, the sort of dragging it out where the Minister for Trade, Stuart Ayres, seems to be out of step. A safe workplace, yes, great, but it's hard to imagine what degree of unsafety was involved that warranted such immediate action, pretty swift immediate action, compared with the other minister misleading Parliament, in effect lying to Parliament, and the Premier appearing to allow that to stand until such time as he gets a so-called independent report. That seems to be that smacks a little bit of, well, two things. One, there may be a sort of factional issue involved here. And secondly, a gender issue, that he can get away with sacking a woman minister. No one's going to complain too much about that. The boys won't be too unhappy. But if I sack one of the senior boys, then there's going to be some unhappiness in the cabinet room, and I'm not sure I can weather that. So there's that dimension of that as well. Whether the opposition, Labor plus the independents, the crossbench and so forth, whether they force the issue, if the Premier, in effect, doesn't stand down Stuart Ayres, whether the opposition will turn around and say, we no longer have confidence in this government, and then proceed to force them to a confidence vote in the House, that may spell the end of the government and an early election. It depends on whether the Labor Party in particular, and there's enough dissent within the crossbench, whether they smell enough blood to be able to say, OK, this government's done its dash. We're not going to wait till next year for the election. We're going to push them to the polls now.
Well, that's the trick they're going to look at, because whether you think one should have gone, one shouldn't have, or the reverse of that, wherever you sit, and there's a lot of dilemmas for the government to go. And that's the thing. The opposition may go, well, look what happened, where there were a lot of things that were troubling the federal opposition, but by the time the election came around, they were able to step into government. So maybe in the other side of that, if we don't act now while the iron is hot, that does give the government time to try and turn their fortunes around. So they'll be looking at all of that.
Well, exactly, and the opposition will be trying to work out what's going to give them the greatest advantage, electorally speaking. The stench arising around the Barilaro Ayres affair, the trade position in New York, that could get worse. And from the documents that have been tabled thus far and the new ones that are about to emerge, it looks like it could get a lot worse. In particular, the idea of how was the job created in the first place and who was involved in the creation of the job. There is some evidence or some indication that the outgoing Nationals leader, John Barilaro, in fact had a hand in some way or other. That's not yet been proven beyond any reasonable doubt, but if it turns out that that's the case, then that puts the government in an even worse position. So the situation for the Premier is, how do I lance this boil now before it spreads everywhere? So I think that the Premier's decision should be straightforward. There's a standard Westminster principle of government that when ministers mislead the Parliament, they stand down. And it's probably in the government's best interest to make that happen now rather than drag it out or be forced into a position where they have to go to the polls with the stench of scandal hanging over their heads, which will be a bit of a turnaround given that they've been in office for a number of years and for the most part have the Liberal National Government, at least the premiers, have been seen to be doing the right thing, although they seem to be have tripped themselves up on a number of occasions.
Yeah, the last one notwithstanding. All right, well, we'll see where all this goes. Jim, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you next time around.
My pleasure, Mark.